stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed! Touchdown!
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge, episode number 69 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. It's that time of year where we're starting to get into the thick of redraft season, and if you have not gotten access to it, go and check out the Warp tool at warp.life. That's WORP.LIFE. It's really designed for redraft leagues. Like, I talk about it a lot because I'm a dynasty player. At the core of my soul, basically. But the Warp tool, in its current iteration, tells you the ideal settings for redraft leagues. So if you've got that home league that's coming up soon, if you've got maybe some other redraft leagues that you're trying to join, just because it's that time of year where a lot of them are going to start drafting, you want to go check out those settings on the Warp tool. So make sure to go to warp.life in order to get access. So I mentioned 2 weeks ago that I am working on some updates to the Warp tool, and I'll see if I get these out before the season or not. But the primary goal for these updates to the Warp tool is to go away from that initial redraft focus that I was just talking about, and instead switch them towards more of a dynasty focus and be able to accurately show the players that you have in dynasty what their value is. We know at a base level that in a dynasty league, not everybody is competing every single year. And so what does that actually look like in terms of what the available replacement player is? Intuitively, we all know that means there's some kind of difference between the available player if your league was a redraft league versus if it was a dynasty league. We know that those running backs who you might think of as being a back end second in dynasty in redraft are going to be completely unavailable to you because that team is trying to compete. Whereas maybe that guy who appears and he's going to be the running back for the next 8 weeks, in a dynasty league, the team that owns that player might not want them. And so it means that the quality of the starters in that dynasty league are going to be better. And so as a result, I want to be able to change who that replacement value player is if it's a dynasty league versus a redraft league. And so what better way to figure out what that number should be than to look at the actual data coming out of actual dynasty leagues? It's just what makes the most sense. So what I've done is I have gone through the data from this past season for a pretty standard set of dynasty leagues, just to start getting an initial view into what does it look like redraft versus dynasty. My parameters for this were to look at your standard superflex leagues, don't have any crazy scoring, just superflex, start at least two running backs, two wide receivers, one tight end, and have varying levels of starters. And I separated it out by those different starters to look through this data just so I could get an idea of if there was a certain point where it started to more or less look the same. So with that, let's look through this data and see what it looks like as a replacement level difference between redraft and dynasty. So starting with a start 9 league. In a start 9 league, you would expect that in a perfect scenario, the top 108 players are started on any given week. Now, what I've done is I've looked at, okay, what were the top started players in all the start nine leagues? I ranked them from one all the way down to like the 600 or whatever different starters there were. And I compared in all the leagues, what is the average rank of the lowest ranked starter across purely playoff teams? I'm looking at playoff teams because those are the ones that are competing. And you would expect that in a dynasty league, if your team's making the playoffs, you're going to be at least trying to be competitive. Now, the average lowest starter was rank 183. That 183 is way lower than that 108 number. And then if I look at redraft, it's 237. So I looked at both of those numbers and I went, that just seems way too low. It almost seems kind of ridiculous, to be honest. And so, thinking about it, I decided, you know what? I think that I need to trim some of this data out. I need to trim the lowest, and I decided lowest six, because that gives an average of one per team, out of every single league, in order to just cut out those guys that are just really shouldn't be started, but you know, somebody just tossed them in their lineup anyway. Kind of get rid of that chaff, the guys that we don't really want to count. And let's redo those numbers. And then just take it with a little bit of a grain of salt, understanding that we've cut out six players. So the actual number that we're looking for might be six lower than this, or maybe 12 lower than this, somewhere around that range. So cutting the six players out in a dynasty league, that number becomes 105. So the 105th ranked player is the worst player started on any competitive team. Now keep in mind, in a perfect world, we're expecting this to be 108. But we know that the world isn't perfect. So where does that compare to a redraft league, where theoretically everyone's trying to be perfect, everyone is trying to compete? And that number, remember, we're looking for 108 here, ends up being 127. So what we're looking at is something that actually feels kind of intuitive based on the numbers that I've already set for the various thresholds in the Warp tool. So I don't know how many people really understand the efficiency metric of my Warp tool, but on the back end, the efficiency metric is just multiplying out the number of players who are included in the AWARP data on a week-to-week basis. It's not adjusting who the replacement level player is, but it's adjusting the number of players that are even just available in the data set, in terms of the number that are actually started on a week-to-week basis. And I recommend oftentimes that in a highly competitive league, like a redraft league, you want to use the high setting. Perfect, in this case, would be starting the top 108 players. We already know that isn't right. I just provide that as an option in the tool, so that way you can see it if you want to see what would happen if everyone played perfectly. But the high setting is 1.2 times the initial number. And so if you do 108 times 1.2, you end up with 129.6. That's really, really close to the 127 number that I'm getting right here in the start nine. So already, it seems like some of the intuition that we have, now we're starting to back it up with data. And we know intuitively that in Dynasty, there's going to be better players who are started on your teams. And in the case of Dynasty, that player is player 105. So we are right near the perfect number where the replacement value player is in a Dynasty league. but the replacement value player in a redraft league is a little bit lower. Because in a redraft league, that's what's available to you. So let's look at what happens if we jump ahead to a start 10 league. In a start 10 league, we're expecting 120 players to be the starters on any given week. And in a dynasty, kind of like how we see it in a start 9, where you go down by 3 from 108 to 105, you go down by 2 from 120 to 118. So it's right around that perfect mark, maybe a tiny bit less. But keep in mind, this is also me cutting out the 6 lowest players, so maybe it's a little bit higher, and we should just bump it up by an extra 6 or 10 or somewhere in that range. If we look at it compared to redraft, it should be going up by 12, and instead it goes up by 17. Now, this number, when you compare it to the next one, which is start 11, it's actually higher, with the average lowest rank of a starter among playoff teams. It's lower in that start 10. And realistically, I think that's a data cleaning problem. I am looking at these 12 teams start 10 Superflex leagues. And if you go to Sleeper and you create a new redraft league and you choose a 12-team league, that is going to be the default setting. And that is what's going to be tossed in as your league settings. So I personally think this data is skewed by a bunch of people where, you know, they got 11 of their friends together and they were like, I don't know what settings to do, just platform default, let's go. And then, you know, they just didn't pay attention over the course of the season and they just played horrible starters. So I'm kind of going to throw this data out a little bit for the redraft because it is so much higher. And instead, jump over to the start 11s. It's start 11, this is where it starts to get interesting. Because I don't know if you remember all the way back when I was looking at redraft versus dynasty, all the way at the beginning of this podcast. Back in episode 9, I found this really weird trend, which was that in dynasty leagues, total points ended up being lower than they were in redraft leagues. And at the time, I kind of equated it to maybe it's just some kind of like dynasty players are trying too hard on getting the young guys into their lineups and they aren't paying attention to the older players. Or those lower level teams, they're just scoring more points because they're also trying. And in redraft leagues, you usually have shorter benches where you can more accurately get those guys off the waiver wire onto the poorer teams in order to bump their averages up. But in this case, you see a similar data point come into effect. If you're looking at start 11, you would think that, kind of like in start 9 and start 10, the lowest starter is going to be a lot worse in a redraft league compared to in a dynasty league. But in actuality, you see it get worse. In a redraft league, it's at 130. In dynasty, that number is 139. It's more. You have a worse player being your replacement level player in a dynasty league, in a start 11 league, than you do in redraft. Which doesn't make sense. I'm only looking at playoff teams. I'm counting out all the teams that are not competing. And yet, in dynasty, we're starting worse quality players compared to in redraft leagues. If we bump this up to start 12, it becomes 144 in a redraft league. I mean, that makes sense. You go from an expectation of it being 132 and the actual result being 130 in a redraft league to it being 144 and it ending up being 144 on the button in redraft. But at the same level, when you expect it to be 132 in Dynasty, it's 139. It's 7 worse. And when you expect it to be 144, it's 159, which is a whole 15 worse. You're getting exponentially worse in Dynasty when that's not what you should be expecting to see when you look at the redraft numbers. And so, once again, I'm at a weird crossroads. You can see that when you have a small number of starters, the Dynasty players, they really focus in on those guys, and they're able to start them accurately. But as soon as you expand it out, as soon as you get deeper rosters, Dynasty players actually are doing worse than their redraft counterparts. So what kind of takeaways can we get from this? It's that in a deeper starting roster Dynasty league, people are not accurately valuing those players who are in the range, I'll call it from like 120 up to 144. So to give you an idea of who those players are, I went to our good old friend Keep Trade Cut and decided to list out to you who is currently valued in those positions. Just so you have an idea of the Dynasty value of what these players would be. So, starting at 120, Isaiah Likely, David Njoku, Mark Andrews, Tank Bigsby, Jordan Mason, Juwan Jennings, Geno Smith, Joe Mixon, Travis Etienne, Jalen Milroe, Braylon Allen, Jake Ferguson, Jack Besh, Aaron Jones, Dylan Sampson, Jalen McMillan, Tony Pollard, Matthew Stafford, Tyjae Spears, Deebo Samuel, Jalen Noel, Bashaul Tutin, Stephon Diggs, Mason Taylor, Jaden Blue. That's your 120 to 144. It gives you an idea of the value range that I'm talking about here. And when you have a deeper starting roster league, the players in that kind of value range, the players that you would be like, hey, I would, if I could move these guys for a producer, if they're, say, a young player, or if I could move these guys, or if I could have these guys on my team because they're an old crusty vet, they're actually worth a little bit more than we kind of play as Dynasty players. We do a poor job of recognizing that these are the proper guys to have. And keep in mind, we have some older guys that definitely will be in that top 144 range. Right outside of that range, I mean, I read off some rookies in there, and we know we have some rookies earlier who aren't going to play, but like Jaylen Warren and Travis Kelce, right outside that range. You even have guys like Cedric Tillman, Darnell Mooney, J.K. Dobbins, Rashid Shaheed. Those kinds of guys in deeper starting lineups are going to be guys that are in your top 144. And if you're just trying to look at a start 12 league, those guys are going to be really impactful. And the Dynasty players just don't have them on their teams. And they're starting worse players even on the teams that make it to the playoffs. That's the thing that's crazy to me. The teams that make it to the playoffs have worse starters. And there's no reason that that should be the case. If they're actually truly competing, they should have some players who are better than this in their starting lineups. The redraft numbers tell us that it is totally possible to do this. They are able to consistently do that. There's 144 possible starters that need to be started across a league, in a redraft league. And the 6 teams that make the playoffs average out that their lowest starter rank is 144. If you do the same analysis on Dynasty, it's 159. There should not be that kind of discrepancy, especially in that direction. Dynasty should not be worse than redraft, yet it is. So what does this mean to me? It means that, going back to the whole depth and best ball conversation from last week, where I was talking about, yeah, you get all these crusty guys who are barely worth anything, and you just slap five of them together for a higher value asset, and you call it a win in best ball. Well, this also shows that we as dynasty players just aren't even valuing those guys properly. Like, we aren't starting them in our lineups, so you should just go get those guys anyway. They're going to get you points that the rest of your league isn't taking advantage of. The only teams that don't need those guys are your absolute super teams. Which, if you have an absolute super team in your league, that's great. But in all reality, we're shooting for trying to be the best in your league and be competitive, regardless of whether there's a super team or not. We just need to be better than the majority of teams in order to, at the bare minimum, make playoffs. Going back to all my numbers, what's the first thing you want to do? Every year, you want to make playoffs. If you make playoffs, on average, you'll at least get your money back. You're better than making playoffs and you're a higher seed, maybe you get a first round bye. That's where you have a really high expectation of making money and or making a lot of money. But at the bare minimum, making playoffs, if you do that every single year, then you're going to eventually be making your money back in your leagues. So what this data is telling me is there's a lot of value to be found in that range. The range that I would consider being like a low-end second, like a contender's second. You can get value in there that the rest of your league's not really paying attention to. And they are not starting those guys when they should be into their lineups. So if you're looking for some things to do, take some time out and send some seconds out. Try to get some players back. I know I just recently sent some seconds out for Tank Bigsby because he's been getting some work with the first team and he's looking like that he's going to carry a large workload this year. Well, so I'm just going out there, sending seconds, and as long as it's on a competitive roster, they're probably undervaluing him anyway. And so even if he's not quite what I'm hoping he'll be, where his value would shoot up, he's probably still better than me just holding on to this second and starting somebody else. Because really that somebody else maybe isn't even somebody I should be starting, and I'm leaving some points on the table. Note that I'm not saying to trade away your first. I don't want to trade away my first at this time of the year. I want to keep that flexibility. But that second, it's not that big of a deal if I end up losing that compared to if that becomes an early second. Whereas the opportunity that I can get off of trading that pick might very well be worth it in helping give my teams an edge over my competitors. And by doing it early in the year, I can capture that edge throughout the entire year to give myself a big boost in terms of the total wins when we're getting to the end of the season and fighting for playoff position, fighting for first round buys, things like that. So going back to the discussion at the beginning, I was looking at this to see how might I incorporate this into the warp tool. And frankly, I'm not 100% sure yet. I thought it was going to be more linear. I thought it was going to be, hey, with I could just look at the replacement player in redraft leagues. It's that 127 number compared to the 108 in redraft and in dynasty. It's 105 versus 108. So you know what? Dynasty, I can keep it as the exact number of starters, but redraft, I should probably increase it by 1.2 times. But the fact that once we get to 144, we're getting to the 12 starters, or even when we're getting to the 11 starters. Like, the fact that it reverses in Dynasty, that's confusing. How do I capture that? I might need to look at a lot more of a variety of leagues in order to figure out some kind of way to capture what that replacement player actually is. And maybe I need to have different buckets for different kinds of leagues or things like that. I'm not 100% sure yet. But That's something that I'll probably be investigating here, whether it's on this podcast or off of it. And it might end up coming into the results. And definitely, when I make an update to the warp tool, I'll be talking about it here and my rationale for why I chose what I did. That's everything that I have for this week. If you're at the Fantasy Football Expo this weekend, come say hi. I'm going to be at the draft night out on Saturday. I'll probably be at the party Saturday night, and I'll definitely be at the expo on Sunday. And as always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.